Hey, everybody. Welcome to the premiere episode of Temple of Geek. My name is Daniel, and on the other end of the line here, I got Paul.
Yo.
Basically, all we're going to do is we're going to talk about things from video games to comics to movies to anything you geeks out there like to talk about. Paul, why do you want to start this podcast?
Because I'm alone. And
elaborate.
Please? No, dude, I don't know. I feel that people deserve a winning, or maybe an actual, you know, decent review of, you know, anything like you said, anything, comic books, video games, movies, you name it. So that's what we're here for. We're the real deal.
Real deal, right? Okay. So why would people out there really want to listen to us?
Well, listen to my voice, Daniel.
It is pretty sexy. Anyways, getting back to the topic on hand. Basically here, yeah, we're going to review some things. We're going to talk about a couple things. Since this is our first podcast, we're going to kind of talk about an older thing here in a minute. But Paul, before we get started on that, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell everybody about PBF Studios, our one and only sponsor.
Yeah, it's an independent filmmaking thing. It's pretty much little to no budget. We just make anything from short 30-second YouTube, trying to be YouTube sensation videos, to...
With your whopping, what, 20 hits?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know it. Check out the Goat Man, everybody.
Goat Man.
Tell me if that's got 20 hits.
Coming to a theater near you.
20,000, more like it. Anyway, yeah, you know, we're just a little to no budget filming thing. But whatever.
All right, let's go ahead and get this thing started. Today we're going to talk about Batman Under the Red Hood. It's an animated film by DC Universe that came out in 2010. Paul, what did you think about this movie?
I thought this film was absolutely awesome. Yeah, they really did a good job. I want to say that Warner Brothers Animation Department is like really on par with the DC Universe, that they cannot do. I mean, obviously you can't do everything on film, and some of the lesser known storyline. I mean, even though this is a Batman movie and Batman's pretty much their breadwinner for comic book movies, I thought this was just totally like on cue all the way. Obviously there were some subtle changes for the movie, but other than, I mean, it was just, I don't know, I was blown away. I loved it.
Now you say subtle changes. This actually comes from two separate comic book storylines, correct?
Yeah, it does.
A Death in the Family.
Death in the Family.
And
the Hush series.
The Hush series. Well, not really the Hush series, but the character kind of spawned from the Hush series, the Red Hood.
Indeed.
Hang on 1 second. Okay, had a tickle my voice there. Basically, A Death in the Family was a comic book that was published in the late 80s. It was basically the death of the second Robin.
Which was kind of cheap, because what did he lose? He lost by like 75 votes or something like that to keep him alive.
You got
to
explain what the votes are, man. Basically, what happened was you had a storyline here. The second Robin, well, for those of you who don't know, there was actually five Robins right now. First Robin, being Dick Grayson, was introduced in the 1940s with Batman. After Dick kind of grew up, Jason Todd, the second Robin, took over. Jason Todd, who was killed off in A Death in the Family, was replaced then by Tim Drake. And from Tim Drake, we had Stephanie Brown, who was formerly the Spoiler. And then after Stephanie Brown, we have Damian Wayne. So that's kind of the small history of the Robins.
Which is Bruce Wayne's son.
Yes, but we'll get into that on another subject. basically, Jason Todd, the second Robin, not very famous with the fans, or popular with the fans, I should say. DC decided to come up with a storyline here and gave the fans an option to either keep them or basically get rid of them. And they called a 1-900 number, and there was two different 1-900 numbers, actually. One 1-900 number allowed him to stay alive. The second one basically killed him off. And like Paul said, he was killed off by 75 votes, roughly.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cheap, because I liked Jason's Todd, because, you know, Dick Grayson, it was more, you know, again, I guess this is when DC allowed the, you know, the universe to actually start growing up, you know. Dick, you know, would grow up and, you know, leave or get fired or whatever, you know. And you know, the Dick Grayson or that Robin with that fan base, you know, it wasn't for us. I mean, you know, it was too campy and all this stuff. So here comes Jason Todd. You know, he comes with an attitude. You know, he comes with, you know, a no rules kind of guy. And I guess people just didn't like that, you know, it was real. And, you know, he comes to the death by the Joker,
which
I thought was kind of cheap.
Yeah, kind of cheap in the comic books, but it kind of, in the movie, was actually, was it first 5 minutes of the film? They kind of showed, did the last couple minutes. They didn't show everything that happened in A Death in the Family, but they did the movie version of it, which was pretty close.
Yeah, it was.
Joker beating the crap out of Jason Todd with a crowbar and basically blowing him up.
Yeah, it was almost like the pages just literally came to life on that opening sequence.
Really good opening sequence.
So anyway, what did you think about the film overall? What did you like about it?
Well, the animation was really good. The voice acting.
Oh yeah.
The voices were good. I was concerned with one voice in particular, and that was...
The Joker?
No, not the Joker, Nightwing, who was played by Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris, to me, is a comedian, and I just didn't see him fit in Nightwing.
Well, dude, you know you can't mess with MPH.
MPH is a god in movies, but...
He is.
I just couldn't see him playing Nightwing. I could see him playing someone like The Flash, but... For someone like Nightwing, who is basically Batman.
Well, yeah, and again, you know, the way they transpired, how Dick Grayson, again, you know, this is when DC allowed the characters to start growing up. You know, Batman could have more partners. You know, yada yada yada. So I like the transition how they actually made when Dick Grayson left or fired or whatever. You know, he actually grew up and, you know, just kind of sort of became, you know, the shadow of Batman, because he was with him so long. You know, that's someone that he did not want to be. He ended up becoming himself. And, yeah, he just became this really cool guy, you know, Nightwing.
Came his own.
But, yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, that Neil Patrick Harris kind of just doesn't fit that persona.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He did a good job in the movie. But it just, for me, they should have had a different voice.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Joker. What'd you think about the Joker? What'd you think about Mr. DiMaggio?
I thought it was spot on. I like how they kind of... Yes, Mark Hamill is the voice of the Joker. Yes, Kevin Conroy is the voice of Batman. But I like how they kind of just took a break from those two and kind of tested the waters with two different people. And I just loved it. I mean, I almost thought, you know, that these two guys were almost the voice of the Joker and the voice of Batman for, like, forever.
Now, let me ask you this. There was an animated series that came out several years ago called The Batman. Did DiMaggio play the voice of the Joker in it?
No, I don't remember the guy's name. But, yeah, he's a famous voice actor, too. But
cause they sounded,
Kevin Richardson, I think his name is.
Well, they sounded similar in their
It's not him.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the way that the Joker is in this film, you know, it's a little bit, again, you know, it was kind of a little bit of Mark Hamill, maybe with the laugh, and a little bit with, you know, Heath Ledger, you know, with the demeanor. But overall, it was all John DiMaggio, and, you know, it was good. I mean, I think if Mark Hamill were to retire as the voice of the Joker, that would be a perfect replacement right there.
And let's talk about Jensen Ackles, who actually was who played in another Warner Brothers show, Smallville. What do you think about his portrayal of Jason Todd?
He's a tough guy. You know, and I don't know if people know this, but he is on a show, Supernatural. And I don't know if this is just tabloid rumors or if this is just bogus rumors or whatever, but I know this much is true. He actually did audition for the role of Clark Kent on Smallville. He didn't get the role. You know, a couple seasons went by. He actually was, he had a major guest, or he had a major role in season 4. But now he is currently starring in Supernatural. But again, going back to the topic at hand, I don't know if a lot of people know this. I don't know if it was just tabloid, la, 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 la. But the show Supernatural was only supposed to go on 5 seasons. And at the end of the fifth season, again, because that's what the creators were saying, I think he actually auditioned for the role of Captain America. And I think he was supposed to have gotten it, but, you know, kind of like the whole Tom Welling thing with the Superman Returns movie, I think he was offered the role, and like Tom Welling declined the role of Superman Returns because he felt he had a good thing going on with Smallville. Obviously, it was a better success than Superman Returns. And I think Jensen Ackles actually declined the role of Captain America to continue doing on Supernatural. Whether that's true or not, I really wish he would have, because yeah, Captain America is just a, you know, just this, just this tough guy, this bad guy, or you know, this badass. And again, you know, Jensen Ackles portrays that on Supernatural, and I think this was awesome that they portrayed that with Jason Todd, because Jason Todd is a badass. So yeah, it's spot on again. 2 for Warner Brothers.
2 for Warner Brothers. Overall, you know, we had what villains in the show? We had the Joker, we had Black Mask, we had the Fearsome Four, we had Ra's al Ghul, we had Amazo. What did you think about the different villains that they used in this film?
Again, you know, for what the story was, you know, obviously the main protagonist is the Joker, because this is all about the Joker. It's all about revenge for Jason Todd to set up a similar scene from, you know, early in his life. But throughout the course of the film, yes, you know, the new mob boss of organized crime, you have Black Mask. Again, that was a good choice, you know, as opposed to the usual Maronis and Falcones and all that. The Fearsome Four, yeah, what a way to, you know, just something out of the norm instead of the regular rogues gallery. I mean, overall, again, you know, I appreciate, you know, their direction on, you know, on the story. You know, it wasn't just the usual, you know, Penguin and Riddler and Two-Face and, you know, whatever. So, what'd you think?
Well, you know, the villains were good. Ra's al Ghul, you know, basically he just feels bad for allowing Jason Todd to get killed, so he basically puts Todd in the Lazarus pit so he could bring him back, and that's how his story got intertwined with Bruce Wayne. The problem I had with the film, I think, wasn't really a problem, but something that just really bothered me was the whole Jason Todd's fake cadaver in the casket.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Wayne's supposed to be this spot-on detective, and you...
Yeah, like, how would he not know that?
I mean... Here we go. We got this guy. Yes, he's devastated. His protege has just been murdered. But you would have think he would have noticed a latex dummy in a freaking casket.
And not only that, when he digs him back up, he's like in perfect condition. You know, there's no decomposition whatsoever.
Yeah, Alfred's standing up there going, yep, there he is. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, it had its flaws, you know, like every movie does. You know, but that was one thing. The problem I had was I don't know if it was really a problem or not. I'm just going to shut up.
Yes, Paul, everybody wants to hear you shut up. No, in all seriousness, best part in the movie for me was actually right after the part where Jason Todd gets blown up, where Batman and Nightwing are fighting Amazo. And
really?
What I liked about that was it was Nightwing basically teaming up with his old master again, and just going out and doing their thing, and it just looked like they were partners once again, and that was really cool to see that on film and how they portrayed that in the movie. You kind of see how much Nightwing has grown over the years from being Robin to being Nightwing now, his own superhero.
I'll tell you this. My personal favorite part of the movie is actually the second to last scene when they are in the, well, basically it's the fight leading up to whenever, you know, it's the three of them again. You know, it's Todd, Unmasked, the Joker, and Batman, and they're just having that you know, verbal exchange and everything. And to me it was just like everything just came full circle. You know, Batman obviously explains why he cannot kill the Joker as much as he wants to, and why Jason can't accept that. And to me, that was my favorite scene. Now, what did you think about the gadgets in this? Like Batman actually used this one particular gadget, like at least I think 3 times in the movie, where I was like, oh well, you know, that must be his favorite new toy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The bat rope?
No, the what do you? I don't know. I don't even know what they are. Those little like jet propulsion, you know.
Oh, during the fight with the final or Fearsome Four or whatever.
Well, yeah, he had that in there. He did it, I think, with the Mazo, and then he did it at the end with Todd. You know.
The little, I don't know what the heck those are called.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, like propulsion pods or whatever.
Yeah, I was laughing because he would slap them on somebody and they would take off like little rockets.
Yeah. I'm not just saying just that, but what did you think about his gadgets in this film?
Well, it's Batman. I mean, Batman always has the cool gadgets. I mean, he's a freaking billionaire that sits there and gets bored when he has nothing else to do and creates things. What I liked about it was the gadgets in particular were the fact that Jason Todd had his own version of his gadgets from what he learned from Bruce Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're fighting back and forth. And I guess one scene that was really cool in the movie was Batman used that little flare or whatever it was to burn the jacket off and get rid of Jason Todd's gadgets. And they went at it without their gadgets. So, you know, I don't know how to explain this. Basically, it's making it look like Jason Todd needed his gadgets. When he got rid of the gadgets, he was actually able to fight without them. So that was kind of a cool scene right there.
Yeah, it was more of, yeah, no handicaps for neither one of them. Now, what did you like about the character designs?
It kind of reminded me of the old school animated movies. They weren't as blocky as the animated movies, but it just kind of had that feel. And I think that had to do with Paul Dini being the director or the producer of the show. Character designs were actually really good. I mean, most of them were their classic costumes from the comic books. Even the Red Hood's costume is similar to what it was in the comic book when they reintroduced that character as Jason Todd.
I just don't like, again, with Nightwing, you know, even though this is, you know, they're going with the current rendition of Nightwing, you know, with the introduction of Nightwing, you know, he had that blue and gold and whatever it was. But even with the current rendition of Nightwing, his hair is still kind of long, and I don't like how it was like a crew cut. I didn't like that because it still made him look like a boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this was supposed to be 5 years after Jason Todd's death, right?
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, if they're going that route, because when Nightwing first came out, he had the long hair with the ponytail, and then when he went with his new costume, which is his black and blue, he cut his hair to, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know, shoulder length. I don't even know how you would classify a haircut, but whatever. I mean, it went shorter, but it didn't go as short as what they did in the movie here. And like I said, to me, that just made it look like more of a boy instead of a guy.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think he's supposed to be in his younger 20s because he was a teenager when he left Batman.
Correct.
And Todd was, what, 14?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he was in his teens. They were roughly, I think they were about the same age, you know, plus or minus 5 years.
That's not the same age, Paul.
Well, I said roughly about the same age.
Okay, so if we have Todd, he's about 14.
Don't judge me!
If we have Todd, he's about 14, 15. Dick Grayson left when he was probably about 18, 17, 18, somewhere around there. 5 years later, he's going to be about 22, so, you know, you go through that phase where you have your little short hair, and you know, this is a DC movie, they're trying
Dude,
to make...
Dude, nobody goes through a phase in comic books. Nobody does.
But you got to understand, this is a DC movie, so they're just trying to make it a little bit more modern. He's not going to have his long hair from the 70s when he was in the comic books, so...
Well, that's unacceptable.
It didn't bother me, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. I don't judge a cartoon's hairstyle. But other than that, the movie was good. Did you watch the Jonah Hex short?
Did I watch what?
The Jonah Hex short on the DVD.
No, because I gotta say, I didn't watch the DVD. I actually watched this through
Don't
a friend's...
Don't say it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I watched it through a friend's, you know, like Zune or whatever.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say through a bootleg. I was like, don't say that. We don't support bootlegs here.
No. No, I watched it through a Zune software.
I didn't watch the Jonah Hex animated short, too, and I'm sorry, I know we talk about all things geek, but I'm just not a huge Jonah Hex fan.
Yeah, the movie wasn't all that great either.
Really can't judge a book by its cover, but maybe I will watch it one day, and if y'all want to comment on this, maybe you can convince me to watch it.
Nah, please don't anybody convince me to watch it, because it was a waste of time.
Other DC movies, which one?
Okay, like
which one?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think overall, like, are we talking about like live action movie, or are we talking about animated?
Right now, just animated. If we start talking about live action movies, we're gonna have to get into Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, and I don't want to discuss that right now because I don't know much about it.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, DC's actual like live action movie line is I don't know, it's like they got their head in the right direction, they just can't get it out of their you know what. But as far as the animated line goes, again, you know, you've got the Red Hood, Under the Red Hood, you have Green Lantern First Flight, you have the Wonder Woman, you have the Doomsday, Justice League, and all that stuff. Again, I like the way their direction goes in the animated. You know, maybe it's because you can do more. Maybe it's because you're not limited to, you know, like effects and stuff like that. But to me, the stories are a lot better. You can relate better to it. And maybe the transition, you know, just doesn't work well when it comes to film. And all those Marvel, you know, all those Marvel diehard guys. I mean, again, you know, you and I, we appreciate anything, you know, it doesn't matter what universe they are. As long as it's a good story, as long as it, you know, they portray the characters true, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, the next two that are coming out is going to be Superman versus the Elite.
Yeah.
Which, if you read that Superman issue where the number is eluding me at the moment... Anyway, Superman vs. the Elite's coming out, and also The Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
Which is supposed to be a two-part cartoon, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
So those are going to be two films coming out here pretty soon that I cannot wait to see.
Oh, yeah, and Year One just came out a few months ago, too.
Which I have not seen yet.
Dude, you have not seen that?
No, I have not got to see that yet. I did get to see Justice League Doom, which I know you haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
But no, I haven't seen Year One. I saw Emerald Knights, Apocalypse, Under the Red Hood, Crisis on Two Earths, Public Enemies, First Flight, Gotham Knight, New Frontier, Doomsday. I don't think I've seen Wonder Woman. And
that was
a
good one.
I haven't seen All-Star Superman, which I hear was really good. And Batman Year One. I think those are the only ones that I haven't seen out of the DC movies.
Well, that's quite a list you have there.
I keep lists everywhere, Paul.
It's awesome. But anyway, yeah, overall, Red Hood, it's a good film. If you guys haven't seen it yet, it's something definitely worth watching. You will not, again, you know, like Daniel mentioned earlier, it's loose, not loosely, but, well, I guess you can say it's loosely based off of two story arcs, which is the Death in the Family, where Jason Todd actually gets killed, and a little bit from the Hush line that came out about what, 2004, 2002. But anyway, it's loosely based off of those two story arcs, and they kind of combine it and then add a story to it, and it's really well done. Again, it's you won't waste your time watching it. I enjoyed it. I'm sure everybody else would too.
I'm sorry, everybody. He keeps saying it's the Hush storyline. It was called Under the Hood.
Whatever.
It came out in 2005. Written by Judd Winnick. He was reintroduced in the Hush storyline, which...
Hush.
I keep saying Hush. Hush. He was in the Hush storyline. Anyway, he was reintroduced in the Hush storyline where basically Jason Todd was Clayface, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the.
So they thought that it was just a fake thing, but you actually find out Jason Todd did in fact come back. Comic books, they have such a soap opera. It's like a twist and turns everywhere.
Oh yeah, those are the best.
Oh.
Yeah. So check it out if you guys haven't seen it yet.
Speaking of seeing it, have you been watching any of these independent films on YouTube?
Oh yeah. Some good ones out there.
Okay, so not to be promoting too many people, but there's a group out there called Bat in the Sun Productions.
Yeah, they've been around for a while.
Did you see the video I sent you the link of?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
It was pretty good. I actually kind of like some of their older ones better.
I'm trying to pull the name up so I can tell everybody what I'm referring to.
Oh, wait a minute. Was this the one where it was the time, what was it? The Last Laugh?
Last Laugh, yes. No.
No, it wasn't that one, right?
I think it was The Last Laugh actually.
If it was that one, okay, well never mind. Yeah, that one I really liked. I don't know which was the other one. Somebody sent me this stupid one. I mean, it was Batman and Robin and I mean it was so horribly done, but it was still better than the real Batman and Robin, I mean, if that says much.
Yes, it was Batman The Last Laugh, where everything was backwards at the beginning.
Yes, where, they were just trying to show you how he ended up in the position he was in. That was really well done.
It was really well done. Paul, you still there?
I am.
You were fading away from me.
Oh.
Yeah, what I liked about this video the most was there was no dialogue except for the very end.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm not going to spoil it for those who haven't seen it, but I do recommend if everybody watches YouTube and they like to see fan films, do a search for Batman The Last Laugh. You will thoroughly enjoy it.
Yes, you will. Except for that Batpod. I think I could have made one better off of...
the Batpod scene was
off kind of... What do you call those? Not a cereal box, but...
Well, the Batpod looked good. It was just... They should have made it look like it was actually going a little faster, but again, I don't want to ruin it.
Watch. Dude, you thought that thing looked good? I mean, that thing would look like absolute garbage, man. Like I said, I think I could have got one off of a better, Cracker Jack box or something.
I thought they did a pretty good job making a model for the budget that they had.
Dude, they're batting the sun. They should have had something better than that. Actually, they should have just had a car. Well, whatever. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, that Batpod sucked.
Well, guys, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Yes, so this was kind of a rough start to a hopefully going to be a new thing. If you guys want to just comment, leave comments. Also, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, we'll have a Twitter page up and going here later on today called Temple of Geek. Just do a search for @Temple of Geek and send us some comments and let us know how we did. If you want to give us some ideas on what we need to put in our show, like I said, this is going to be for you guys. So let us know what you want us to hear about and we will talk and... Hopefully make you guys laugh and make you guys come back. And
yeah.
We want to be here to please you.
To please. To please. So please.
So anyway, my name is Daniel. This is Paul. And you've just listened to the first episode of Temple Geek. We're out.
Peace.